Johnny and I Know on FUBAR Radio.
Yes, 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 it's 4 p.m. on Thursday. Johnny Cochran's here. I Know Tomlinson's here. So that means it must be J&O Live and Loud!
Live and Loud with Johnny and I Know on FUBAR Radio.
Absolutely correct. Yeah. It's Live and Loud time.
It is.
That's with me, Johnny Cochran. Johnny.
And me, I Know. Tomlinson.
Perfect. Just get our business out of the way first so everyone knows who they're listening to. Fantastic.
And everybody knows who's in control of the desk.
Still love it. Still love it. Like, do you know when they talk about people who fall in love every day? You know, I love you more every day. I love this more every day. Every time I come in, same enjoyment. Like a kid in a candy shop. Big shout out to everyone listening in. Yeah, you probably know by now we're going to have lots of fun. That's a guarantee.
That is. So welcome to the old favourites that are tuning in once again. And hello to the newbies.
Yeah, new favourites.
New favourites.
Yeah, absolutely. We don't have favourites here. Oh. We don't. Everyone's welcome to this party.
Literally, they are.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, just download the app. We can't actually screen anyone, so everyone's welcome. Yeah, that's it, basically. We're not checking IDs on the way in. It's a real rave up. It's been a good week, isn't it? Well, you know, for us it might have, not in the world, but
not,
you know.
Not in the world, but for us it's been not so bad.
Not so bad.
In comparison.
We did actually go to the set of the David Brent movie this week.
We did.
Absolutely. And do you know what, Arnell?
What's that?
We've got an exclusive interview with none other than Doc Brown, who's a major star in a David Brent movie.
Oh, yes.
And that's coming up later in the show today.
That's right, main part. So we got some exclusives on, about the movie that nobody else knows about. So you're going to hear it first on this station.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. And if you're like me, a big David Brent / Office fan, yeah, there's one to tune in for, because I love The Office. I mean, it genuinely it caused a big impact for me in my life. Loved it. So it was really like when Ricky showed up and walked past us the other day, I was literally like, oh, there he is. And he did put a David Brent outfit as well. It's like, oh no.
I was like, he's not coming out of character, is he?
It's just so funny. Well, he was trying. He weren't being Brent at the time, but just when he's even just walking around, just going, you all right, guys? And I just can't help but that's David Brent just going, hello, mate. You know?
I was almost thought he was going to crack open that dance.
Absolutely. just recording some new tracks right now. Gonna lay some of that drum and bass on it. Yeah.
But you know what though? Like, I loved The Office when it came out, and I was one of the late people for extras. I only seen extras for the first time this year. I think I prefer extras to The Office.
That's a
controversial, I know.
Absolutely outrageous statement, to be honest.
Oh, I can hear people tuning off right there.
Yeah, exactly. What does this man know? No, extras has actually got a lot better for me over time, but The Office still is pride of place for me. It's just
special
well
moment in your heart.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt. Some of the stuff, I've never seen anything like it. It was brilliant. We are live and loud on FUBAR Radio right now.
That's right, live and loud, and we've got a jam-packed show for you guys today. Johnny, what's going to be happening on the show today, man?
Well, we're going to be starting talking about what's trending. What has been being talked about in the world of social media? What stories have had people's chins wagging?
Yeah,
and we're going to put our little views on it, basically, because that's what the world needs to hear.
They need to hear Johnny Arnell's thoughts on everything.
Absolutely, before they can continue with their days.
And then after that, we got our infamous Lend an Ear section, where me and Johnny, we answer real problems from real people, and we give you the best advice that you're guaranteed to hear anywhere in the world.
Absolutely. And then we will be following that up with that exclusive interview that we just mentioned with Mr. Doc Brown on location at the David Brent movie.
Yep.
And then we're going into our Blast from the Past section.
So for those that don't know, Blast from the Past, what's going to happen is we have a buzzword, and that buzzword today is...
It's Christmas. It's Christmas, yeah. Very, I mean, it's December, guys. We didn't have to get too inventive.
Very original.
So if you have any anything that Christmas makes you think about, you want to write in, tell us. We've obviously got our own stories and stuff that we'll be spinning around with later, and then playing songs that makes us, you know, that come to mind from reading out those stories. Mm. So, yeah, anything that makes you think, that Christmas makes you think about, get that sent over to us.
That's right. That's all you have to do, guys. Get on the old email and type in johnny9l@foobarradio.com.
But really, just, you know, send over what you want to, like you do most of the time, to be honest. you never really care.
You guys ignore our requests.
Exactly. It's never usually that direct, to be fair. You just go for it anyway. But we do love hearing from you every week, so get your comments sent over to us, johnny9l@foobarradio.com.
Johnny, look. I can hear him typing right now, look.
Oh, can you?
Can you hear it?
Can you?
Yeah, look.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can hear him typing now as well.
There you go.
Yeah.
There's at least two on the way.
Absolutely. hate mail. Don't worry, that'll get screened by our producer. Stop typing, it's a waste of time.
We don't see those, man.
Jokes,
it's all positive on this
joke. On you. We just get the nice comments. We live in a lovely little positive bubble where everyone loves us. Hey, great tunes, Johnny and I know.
Oh, thanks.
We're so popular right now.
All those others are like, oh, those tunes are rubbish.
Exactly.
Straight to the recycling.
There's a lot of trolls out there going, when's my email going to get read out?
I'm sitting in my email twice.
I find both of you detestable. The songs are really out of tune. Do you know what, I know? That sounds absolutely packed to the rafters, this show.
Because it is, that's why.
Yeah, it is packed.
That's right, mate.
It's packed.
It's packed.
On an electoral point, it actually is packed to the rafters.
It's packed. We can't fit it all in 2 hours.
No, we're going to really struggle. You know what, there's barely room for anything else. But...
What?
But we should really try. We really should try. Because we've got to also fit in some of the biggest bangers.
Bumpers and bangers.
Bangers, bumpers, banger after banger. Being played on Johnny and I Know Live and Loud.
That's right. Our musical tastes are getting quite well known now, isn't it? Look at that.
Isn't absolutely. It? And to be honest, if you do just, you know, want to definitely get your email read out, just compliment us on our musical taste, because it does. I genuinely do
it
get
goes
really
straight
pleased.
To the top of the pile of emails.
It really does. It's a guaranteed readout.
It's guaranteed. And if you've got any tweets as well, you can catch us on Twitter as well. Johnny and I Know. At Johnny and I Know. Or Johnny and I Know.
In the end,
who am I?
Which one? You don't know, do you? So do you know what? It's about time we get an absolute banger and bumper on right now.
Bumper.
Right, so this week I've decided to start with, although the days don't really fit, this song is just an absolute classic anyway, so forgive me that the day's not necessarily relevant, but this is R. Kelly, Thank God It's Friday.
Thank you. all of you.
Oh, yeah. Thank God it's Thursday. Yeah, we are aware of the days. Don't worry, I haven't got mud on.
Because we make it feel like Friday, that's why.
Absolutely. This is Johnny and Inel. We're live and loud on FUBAR Radio.
Johnny and Inel on FUBAR Radio.
That's right, that's right. You're locked into the right channel and you're listening to the right people.
Absolutely, well, yeah. Absolutely. That was R. Kelly with Thank God It's Friday. And speaking of R. Kelly... We've had our first email in.
Who is it?
Bedroom games.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, there we go.
Started it off.
Hey, Johnny and Inel. Steph from London here.
Hi, Steph.
I hardly ever get to listen live, but always listen to your show when I can. Charmer.
I like it. I like it. Started off the email very well.
You had me at hello.
Carry on, Steph.
After hearing all the stories last week... Oh, God, yeah, there was quite a lot there. All the stories last week about dating disasters and romantic fouls, I thought I'd tell you my own.
Oh, sure, go ahead.
Me and my boyfriend, Mo, have been together for years, and I love him very much. But our love life became a bit stale.
Had to put that caveat there, didn't you?
Yeah.
We love each other very much. He's a brilliant guy.
And now I'm going to go on a contradictory rant. I tried to introduce food into the bedroom.
Oh.
Oh, dear.
All right.
Here's a pizza.
Two's on top.
A bit of beef brisket.
Pork smashings!
You're going to have to clarify which food.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's very important what type of food.
I've got a Donner reel going... Do you want chilli sauce and salad with that, do you, mate? Sexy. I tried to introduce food into the bedroom, in which he shot down that idea and responded with, "That's how you get ants." And in the pants, apparently.
Oh, this guy's cleaning it on.
Yeah. Think about the ants.
It's a nice fool, but think about the ants.
We're one step away from an infestation, okay? I don't find that flexy.
I love that excuse.
I then suggested role-playing, which he seemed really keen on.
Oh.
He said he would get ready for our steamy night of passion while I went to the bathroom to get ready myself.
Nice.
I returned in the doorway of our bedroom dressed in a nurse's uniform that I had from a couple of Halloweens back. Mo, on the other hand, had misinterpreted the meaning of role-playing in the bedroom. He was sat cross-legged on the floor with his Dungeons and Dragons book.
It's D&D Friday!
Dragon ball set up, wearing a cloak and wielding a prop sword from the Lord of the Rings. Oh dear. Aragorn versus Nurse. I'm Ragmore the human warrior, and you can be Ariana the Elvish mage, he said before he even looked up at me. When he did, he then asked, "Why the hell are you dressed like that?" Let's just say after he has cleared a dungeon full of trolls, he gets really horny. All the best, love the show, and listening via the catch up, Steph.
Awesome.
That is brilliant. Nice
great,
one, Steph.
Great first email, that
absolutely.
One. I knew I could hear someone typing.
Yeah, yeah. I like that a lot, Steph. Cheers for that. right, here we go. Nicknames. Hiya, men. Cool.
Hello, fellow human.
Yeah, hello, man. One of my friends went travelling for a few months and has recently returned. As well as having a lovely tan, he's also made some life decisions. He says we have to call him Wolfman now, or Wolf for short. Old Wolfie is bald on his head and his chest, so I don't understand the thinking behind this. I'd rather not call him that. Do you think I should go along with his insane plan, Zed in Portsmouth?
I want to know what happened to him on holiday. That's what I want to know.
Absolutely. Howling in the air. Absolutely. Just running with a pack of wild wolves. our country's answer to Mowgli.
Call me Wolfman.
That's probably how he howls on the moon.
Yeah.
Hey, hey!
Absolutely. Dear, oh dear. Wolfman. No, I mean, if he's some bald geezer who's having a midlife, don't bother calling him Wolfman. It would...
No.
That reminds me of the geezer out of Gladiators, isn't he? A wolf, you know what I mean? He was also going bald and was just... a bit of an idiot in general, to be fair, weren't
they? They were all just personal trainers, weren't they?
Oh, of course they were, yeah, yeah. Absolute personal...
straight out of Fitness First, as it comes straight up to...
Oh, not straight out. They had to take some time to take their steroids in the first place
Yeah.
A couple of them were down that route. But, yeah, I remember Wolfman on that as well, and he's always just acting like a bit of a plonker. But that was quite funny.
I did love that show, though. That TV show was one of the first ones I can remember, shouting at the TV, especially when it got to the last bit when they're on the Travelator. And you're like, come on, man! Come on, man! You can see they're enough tired in the show. Yeah, come on, you little butt!
Yeah, I mean, as when I was a kid, I used to think that looked easy as well. Yeah,
Everyone always thought they could do it.
But I still back myself a little bit on some of them.
You back yourself on the Travelator?
You get tired. In fact, there's no chance I'd do that now. I can barely make it through 90 minutes on a Sunday morning. Coming off the bench, not a chance.
Snapping yourself off.
There's no Travelator for me. Not a chance. But I know, we are now into our What's Trending section.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, that is where we talk about all of the happenings this week and what's been being talked about in the world of social media and so on.
That's right, and there's been a lot of things been happening this week, and a lot of people been discussing a lot of things.
Yeah.
First up, though, we have the police are investigating at the minute fat-shaming cards. Like, people going around on the tube and on trains handing out fat-shaming cards to people that they believe are overweight or obese, and these kind of leaflets, kind of card things, pretty much just say how disgusted they are with them.
It's outrageous, isn't it?
I know, it's nuts.
So they're these group called Overweight Haters.
Limited.
Limited, yeah. And yeah, I've been handing out almost like business cards to fat shame people. And like, it starts with our organisation hates and... resents fat people, and they're handing it out to people.
And I hate the way they probably do it all smarmy as well. Like, keep looking at them over on the train carriage, and you think, oh, I think I've pulled.
Yeah, yeah.
Take my card.
Yeah, oh, thank you.
Oh, you fat little piece.
Well. Oh dear. But no, I genuinely can't believe this organisation has essentially got business cards as well, and is handing them out. You know, to people.
A lot of thought has been put into that.
Exactly. Yeah. Love the way they're going around, like, you know, handing them out like they could be booked for like children's parties or something. Call me or something. Yeah, we do children's parties.
I see something in you.
hey, check that out. Okay, yeah, call me sometime. Yeah, as I say, children's parties, I mean, we're there. Whenever the birthday cake comes out, we will fat shame that little kid there. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Don't eat it. But, you know, this is obviously quite outrageous, going around, like, making people feel pretty bad about things. And, I mean, some of the language used is pretty out of order. It's saying stuff like, you can't be compared to the lovable pig because we like pigs and we hate you. Some nasty stuff.
You're just an ugly human sort of thing. It's nasty stuff, and I hope that they kind of get caught. Well, obviously, it's not a proper company, and so it's harder to kind of find them. But it's I remember though that people started doing a thing a few years ago that was a positive kind of thing. What was happening was it was a good luck envelope, and what it was, they'd put like a tenner or something or 20 quid in an envelope, and then with a little note just saying, here's some good luck, hope you pass it on to someone else sort of thing, and then you just find an envelope, like, all right, it's a tenner.
But
now it's fat shaming cards.
that's the problem.
The world's changed.
Like, the thing is these guys handing out those like cards or whatever. Mm. Like, if I was walking past, I would want to get my hands on one of them.
Because,
like, you know, as soon as I see stuff getting handed out,
standard.
Well, I start doing that little walk past people. Whenever someone's handed out something free, I start walking around really slow past them. Start going, oh, you know, should I walk this way or that way? Oh, what's this? Do you mind? Like, I always do that in the supermarket when they're handing out stuff. I'm like, oh. oh, what is this? Yeah, oh, that sounds interesting. Just want free stuff, quite frankly.
Been hovering around the stand for like the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Around here. But genuinely, I'd be going up to them going, do you mind if I get one of those? Okay. Oh, it's a fat shaming card. That is a shame.
What are you trying to say?
Yeah.
I've had a tough month, all right?
Just making it hard for me.
I haven't had time to go to the gym.
But, you know, yeah, exactly. I'll be going up there expecting to actually get something, at least like, you know, a Pizza Express, you know, voucher or something like that, or at the very least, like a reduction on calls to Papua New Guinea or something like that, a phone saver. But no, it's just fat shame. But there you go. I mean, the thing is, like, I don't like getting left out of things, like when people hand out things. That's what would drive me into it. Mm. I remember,
are you one of those people that grab an evening standard even though you already have one?
Sometimes.
Guilty. Let me take a second.
Yeah. It's free, isn't it? Yeah, okay. No, I remember, the thing is, though, if someone's handing stuff out and you're not getting one, you want to know why, you know? Yeah. I remember, like, when, the political parties go door to door and stuff. And I remember we had a political party show up at our house one day. Mm. Started talking to my mum. Turns out it was the BNP. Yeah. And then we walk around the corner and they're like, oh, yeah, it's going to be a hard sell, isn't it, eh? Hard sell.
Well, you have a good day.
Next out. I'll have that leaflet back, actually. Yeah, cheers.
Neighbours in. Your neighbours in.
Have a good day, or don't. But, yeah, no, I mean, it's, it's outrageous. Outrageous that they're doing this.
I'm hoping it doesn't catch on, because then you'd be seeing other things. I mean, we were talking about it the other day. It's like, literally BO cards. Like, just hanging around.
Any danger of a wash with a little scratch and sniff with some Lynx Africa on there, eh? Any danger of some of this? Help us out.
Yeah, just wipe it under your armpits, mate.
Absolutely. But yeah, so
you know what it is, because some people think it's like a marketing campaign just gone really wrong.
Sponsored by Weight Watchers.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like, fat shaming. It's like, oh yeah, you ugly piece of. But you can solve it.
Yeah. Link to a website.
Follow the link here. 10% off your first week.
Oh. Lighter life. Oh dear. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't think it. I mean, it just sounds like a random band of people who are just trying to make people feel bad. So, not in tune with that, are we? Not in tune.
We've had a little tweet here.
Oh yeah.
We've had a little tweet from Paul. He says, "Oh, Gladiators was awesome." Anyone remember Jet? Had a proper crush on her. She was the first.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, right. Oh, right. But one of his first. Oh, right. Yeah, I see. Yeah. Okay.
Obviously, this tweet didn't get vetted. His sessions. Came in.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, dear. Doing that top pipes.
It's always nice when you remember your first one, eh?
Yeah, exactly. But no, Jet was well decent. Diane Udow is her name, so.
Oh.
Yeah.
How do you know that?
She's constantly in there.
A couple of Google searches.
Yeah. If you're listening, Diane, just want to see what you're up to these days. Just check it out. Awesome. Cheers for the tweet, Paul. Next, what's up on What's Trending? Now, I've seen this article, which has basically said that, so there's some hackers online who have been selling like lifetime subscriptions to Netflix and Spotify on the dark web for as little as 50 cents a go.
It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, and perhaps obviously the most severe of it, like they're selling like subscriptions to everything, you know, and getting them real cheap. Perhaps the most severe of this is they're also selling, unfortunately, subscriptions to FUBAR Radio in particular, the Johnny and I Now Live and Loud show, you know, which is up to now cost this company anywhere upwards of £7, which is devastating. So we really want to get this cleaned up as soon as we can. Apparently Business Insider reports that it's a common thing for hackers on the dark web to be selling access to streaming services now.
Yeah, because they a few of them used to do it for like Xbox codes and stuff like that. They'd do the similar things where they'd have some sort of algorithm where they'd be able to kind of generate the right ones to kind of work with the system, like Microsoft systems and stuff like that. But the whole thing is, though, you have to venture to the dark web to get it, and not many people kind of go like on their internet kind of life like. daily kind of routine. They don't go to that side of the internet. They kind of stick to the like the normal sides of the Facebooks and the Twitters and stuff like that. And then if they want to kind of go a bit dark, they might download a little movie or whatever. But then the dark web.
Yeah. That's like
where everything else is.
That's like internet ghetto, that is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The internet was a place to go. That
people just rolling up on you with viruses going, take that, Rob, take that.
It's the place where the pop-up still exists in full flow.
Yeah. But it's been going on, but yeah, it's pretty rife apparently. But that said, like, you know, it's essentially what happens is you get tacked onto other people's accounts and stuff like that, and then you use their codes, and then you basically they basically say you get Netflix for life or Spotify for life or whatever. But one of the things that I saw in the article is they actually report that that these hackers have actually got a help desk for any problems that arise.
Every service needs a help desk.
Is that right? I mean, this is actually outrageous. You're gonna have people ringing up going, hi, you're through to Hackers R Us. You're speaking to Demon Hacker 666. How can I help you today?
Yeah, my Netflix ain't working, yeah?
Oh, your Netflix is down. No worries. We'll sort that out for you. You'll be Netflix and chilling in no time. Don't worry about that.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, yeah. And to make it up to you, we'll also give you several free downloads of Johnny and I Now Live and Loud as well.
Nah,
I
don't want that.
No. Okay. Well, it's in there anyway.
I'll pass it on, yeah?
But so that's what they're doing. The thing is, well, like, what I would say on it is the idea, yeah, obviously it's streaming nowadays, but the idea of getting essentially pirated, you know, media and stuff is nothing new, is it?
No.
I mean, back in the day, we used to have, like, do you remember chipped cable boxes and stuff like that?
Yes.
Like, and it was like, yeah, I've got a chipped cable box.
All the stations.
Yeah.
Even like, the
boxing events and stuff, and it's, yeah, for an extra fiver, we can give you some of the late night ones as well. Absolutely.
It was a thing you always had to tell the guy. You had to say, like, a certain thing. So he knew you wanted the chipped cable box.
Yeah, exactly. And he goes,
what subscription comes with this one?
Yeah. There was always someone with a chipped cable box. If someone knew it, or a chipped sky box or something like that, you know. There was certainly some when I was back in school, some, because they could get the boxing events as well. Mm-hmm. If you had chip, you get everything.
I had everything. Because I remember, we used to just have the normal cable, and then there was always like, oh, you get a couple of stations like Nickelodeon and stuff when we were kids, but it's like, oh, but we don't have the Disney Channel. Mm. Oh, you got to get the chip, man. Or you can pay.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
You're always going to get people hustling here as well. I mean, I don't want to incriminate myself, so I won't. I'll tell you about my friend, Ronnie.
I know him.
He's a good-looking guy, actually. He got an internet service provided, and when the geezer showed up to install his internet, he started going, oh, he's a scouse dude. He's like, hey, I know your speed's not that strong. He's like, if you just give me a little 20 quid for a little drink, I could sort you out with a high-speed service. I was like, 20 quid, eh?
I was running. I thought he was running, mate.
Oh, dear.
Was he there as well? Did you flash her?
At this point,
flash her with Roddy, yeah?
At this point, we're going to end the interview.
No comment.
Without a legal representative, I'm not willing to continue this. It started off being Ronnie.
This is the part that's going to get cut off on the catch-up. Right, next thing on the trending is...
it's all hypothetical that I could have got something like that. Anyway, so that is what's trending on Netflix.
Yeah, don't go on the dark web.
Don't go on the dark web.
Don't go to
the internet's ghetto. So the final thing that we have, what's trending on now, is that scientists have actually created a new form of carbon, which is called Q-carbon.
Q-carbon.
Which is basically... like diamond, it's harder than diamond though, and shines brighter, so it's like a better form of diamond. And they've created this essentially in a room by shining a laser on some carbon, and then they're creating things that are more perfect than diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what's going on now. You're basically getting like microwave diamonds. Yeah,
it's
ding,
nuts.
Yeah, diamonds
this,
ready.
This one's better.
Exactly.
Do you reckon that's what girls are going to want now?
Well, there's no question that if I do get engaged, my fiance is definitely getting a Q carbon ring.
Q carbon.
Absolutely, Q carbon. I mean, these geezers are making them in their living rooms. Wicked. I'd like a diamond ring. You'll get a better than diamond ring. Q carbon. There you go.
It doesn't sound better.
There might be a lot of them out there, but it's definitely better. Well, you tell me, it shines brighter, it's bigger, it's harder, it's stronger.
Q-carbon.
Exactly. Q-carbon. She's my fiancée's definitely getting a Q-carbon ring. I mean, with the increase, obviously, the way the market forces are going, with the increase of supply, the price will be, like, well cheap as well. Because if you think about it, like, obviously, things after time are only valuable because there's a shortage of them, particularly with diamonds. You know, the fact they've taken millions of years to make, in the ground and stuff is one of the reasons why they're so valuable. But if you could just, like, stick some carbon under a laser, all of a sudden you're like, bang, there's some Q carbon out. Wicked.
I'd hate to break the news to all those people that own nails like diamond quarries.
I know.
Do you know what I mean? Hey, guys, listen up. Basically, everything that we've been doing here for the last...
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's obsolete now. They've found better.
I'd love to be the guy. I'd go up to guys who are like, yeah, I spend 10 grand on my baby's ring. You know, I just want to show how much I love her. I'll be like, yeah, I just spent about 20 quid on that Q carbon ring. It's better. It's stronger than yours.
Stuck it in the microwave for 10 minutes.
Absolutely. Bang on the laser. Decent. Wicked. Yeah, I mean, your diamond's worth nothing these days. I'm doing better. The other thing is, because they'll basically be selling these things in like Sainsbury's on buy one, get one free. You know what I mean? They'll be that right. Just throwing that in. Yeah, there you go. And you know what? For 20 quid, I'll give you two of them Q carbon diamonds and a Netflix subscription for life. How about that? You can also be subscribed to Johnny and Arnell Live and Loud. Don't want it.
Why do I keep trying to shut off these subscriptions?
genuinely, the other thing that I feel bad for, obviously, there's people who have spent tens of thousands on diamonds and they won't be worth that much, but also the diamond robbers out there, eh? They're going to be out of work. No one's talking about that, are they, eh? You know what I mean?
What about us?
They're back on read.co.uk. Well, I've got a skill set. I'm not sure what it's going to be used for. Cutting cats down from trees, maybe. I don't know. But, you know, no one thinks about them.
Do you reckon in the future, because everyone's going to have lasers in the future, do you reckon everyone's going to be hot at home making their own Q-carbons? Q-carbon stones.
Well, you would have thought so.
Yeah, I just bought myself a big laser.
Yeah. What, on my car? Yeah, Q-carbon encrusted. Yeah, got loads of them, you know.
Q-carbon rims.
Nice. Oh, you're one of those cheap guys, are you? Oh, come on, it's blingy.
Don't put it on the rims.
Yeah. definitely. But wouldn't that be nice as well? Then you could... The thing is I don't like some of those gestures that you have to give, like pressure gets put on you to make.
Yeah.
Like buy your fiance a really big diamond ring, basically bankrupt yourself for it.
Because some women will outright refuse to ever even consider proposing to a guy with a ring.
Yeah.
Outright refuse.
Absolutely.
You're never going to do it.
And they judge the ring as well and be like, I could have. But you know, when you're rolling up with, look at that, there we go, absolutely shining, ting.
That's real Q-carbon.
That's Q-carbon. That is a Q... That looks a Q in carbon.
Even though it's better, it sounds so cheap.
I know, it does, doesn't it? It does.
Oh, that's real Q-carbon.
Sounds knock-off.
You got any Q-carbon, mate?
Sounds like them geezers selling, like sugar-coated peanuts on the road are going to be knocking off some Q-carbon things as well. That's where you can get them from.
Anybody with a laser.
Anyone can get them. But, you know, it's better. At least it means that everyone can get their hands on them. And what's great about these ones is they don't have to, they don't have to be sourced by loads of people getting their hands chopped off in Sierra Leone. So that'd be good. Good. Like the Q-carbon. Nice. Right, that is what's trending.
Oh, an email.
We've had an email. Crackers. Hey, Jay. Thank you. Hey, Jay and I. What is your favourite cracker joke, Paula?
For a Christmas cracker. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, I was like...
Yeah.
I've got an extensive one on Jacob's crackers.
I didn't know Jacob's did that. The Ritz. I know Ritz is going that way.
What ones did I see? There's obviously... There's ones like...
I can't think of any, really.
I know, like, there's obviously ones like...
The cheaper the Christmas crackers, the worse the jokes.
Oh, they are. There's ones like, obviously, why did a lobster blast because of seaweed and things like that. My uncle, I swear, he... Like, everyone must have them, but my uncle in particular is a guy who, I swear, he writes for Christmas cracker jokes. He has every old school little cheap gag around. Like, done them all, you know what I mean? And he had quite
a bit. He's that guy that used to write them in the back of the Penguin wrappers, isn't he?
I think so. Some of them as well, yeah. Gets all his best material out of it.
We're going to need some wintry penguin-y
jokes.
Huh? I'm going to need several thousand as well.
Got any involving turkeys? I think it's that one. Have you got a favourite joke?
I always got. Why should you never run a race in a Serengeti? Because there's too many cheetahs.
Yeah, it's bog standard that one. I've heard that a few times.
Nelly's laughing.
Is he laughing?
Producer Nelly's laughing.
That is dreadful. Yeah. Shows the level of comedy around this place, isn't it? Really? Yeah. Pretty easily,
she's
pleased.
She's writing it down. Look, she's writing it down. She's like, that's a good one.
I like that. My favourite stock joke is, what do you call a nun sitting on a clown's shoulders? Virgin on ridiculous. So that is a good joke.
She's not laughing at that one.
Hello? Nat? Did you like that one? No, I was just talking. Unbelievable.
I'm sure it was good.
Yeah, the cheat one gets a laugh. I don't know. Best things in life are free.
Yeah, they
great
are.
Tune. hey, Johnny and Arnell.
Hi.
Thank God it's Thursday. Love listening to you guys. I love getting free stuff. You're charming me.
It's working.
Yeah. I was given a tub of butter for free at King's Cross Station during the summer. I popped it in my bag and carried it on my day.
That sounds like a prank.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a prank if they do that. Oh, it's the hottest day of the year.
Well,
have a tub of butter. Put it in your bag.
Over the course of the day, I had forgotten about it and it melted in my bag. There was a sticky mess at the bottom of my nice new bag. But on the bright side, every time I got my purse out, it smelled like popcorn. Sasha. Thank you.
I can imagine they just handed over like money to people at the shops and stuff.
Smells like flora. There you go. Easily spreadable, that fiver. Unbelievable. Oh dear. Butter in the bag. Sounds like a new product. Thanks for that, Sasha. Though I know what you mean. I get if there's free stuff being added out, I'll just grab it even if I don't want it.
I do hate things that leak in your bag, though. That is, it's the one thing that's like irks me.
Yeah,
it's because I know it must have been my fault at one point. I either didn't tighten the bottle or whatever it is, but it's like. When it just drives me insane that I've spilt all this nastiness with over something.
When pens go, that does my head in. Yeah, just everywhere.
I remember buying a new pair of jeans and I put a pen in my pocket, went and did a gig, and then, like, as I was on stage, there was just a big blot mark. Just ruining.
Oh, dear.
Ruining the jeans.
Were you wearing your white trousers?
How did you know? Was it there?
I loosened that pen. That'll show him.
Go make him laugh.
That'll learn you, fella. Nice, nice. Dates. Hello. I listened to the show last week and loved your dating stories, so here's mine.
Yeah.
I met a man in a pub last night. He was very handsome, funny, charming, and had what looked like a very nice hairy chest. Well, I didn't have a hairy chest. Oh. Johnny.
Must have just shaved.
Yeah. there's a little joke there. Anyway, all was going well, and I was enjoying talking to him and spending time in his company. No. He asked me if I would like a drink, and I thought, well, why not?
Oh!
Oh, my God.
Let's go with the flow.
Yeah. I should say it was a packed, and I mean packed pub. Okay. So he got up to go and go get them, the drinks. And what I saw made me think I was drunk as he appeared to slide across to the bar. I looked at his feet and saw he was wearing Heelys.
Oh, gosh.
No.
How old is he?
That's a
Heelys, you know.
Wow. That's a trainer with actual wheels, also known as roller shoes.
Oh, God.
This man told me he was 36.
Oh, no, he ain't.
Oh, let's just say a lot of people notice his shoes and seem to find them amusing. I've never gone off a man so quickly.
He made a lot of friends that night.
Well, you would have thought so. Oh, dear. I had the drink and then made my excuses to leave. I already ordered an Uber. He asked for my phone number and I just mumbled some numbers and then ran off. What a disappointment.
07.
Celine in London. Sort of
999999999.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it sounds like emergency service because it is an emergency. What have you got them on your feet for?
He's chasing after me.
Exactly.
He's catching up.
Absolutely. I love the idea of him doing that speed skating like the ice skaters. Hands behind his back, behind you.
I'm coming for you.
As she's walking off and he's just like, I'm still here. Okay. Left, right.
You do a little spin as well.
Right, quicken the pace. Okay, all downhill. You never get away now.
You see, he really bend over and he's going downhill, isn't it?
I love the. I mean, that guy in some ways is so uncool. He's the coolest guy ever. Who goes to
that's
a
confidence, date? You know?
Heelys.
That's confidence.
That is absolute Fonzie stuff. That is. Just roll over. Want a drink?
Woo. I can imagine him in a leather jacket as well. Oh, that's how I was picturing
it. Of course.
Big leather jacket.
Are
and
you kidding me? There's a jukebox in the corner. He's heeling over to it and elbowing it, and it's coming on.
He's like, hey, babe, what's your favourite song?
Exactly. Oh, here's my favourite one. Ever seen a set of Heelys like this before? Woo.
You wanted a rosé, did you? I'm just going to have a hooch. Yeah.
Smooth operator. What an absolute G. Who goes on a first date in Heelys? That guy is on fire.
He's a winner. That's confidence right there.
I am actually inspired to go on a date in Heelys now. I'm not even joking. That's so good.
You can't even skate.
No, I would fall over, but...
Oh, place.
My dear, that is wicked. Just I'd love to roll over to a girl standing at a bar and just literally scoot, like, whoo! Well, hello.
That must have been quite cool, though, the way you did it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I'm not being funny. If she didn't notice...
She should have been impressed!
It's the glide. You get to glide over to someone.
Whee!
Well, hello.
Excuse me, barman.
Yeah, and whatever she's having. Well, these Heelys, you could still find them.
I forgot my order. I'm just going to go back and get it.
Yeah. What did you want?
Oh, God.
No worries. Coming right out.
Oh, wait. Heelys at 36.
That's brilliant.
I didn't even know you could get them in that size.
No. I thought it would be bad enough to show up in some LA lights or something like that. Yeah. But, you know, this is taking it to a new level. Oh, that is brilliant.
He's a winner.
Thanks for that, Celine. Oh.
Before you go to there, I can't believe so many people had so many nightmare dates.
It's crazy, isn't it? It's amazing how people ever end up with anyone. Because, you know, I thought I had a couple of horror shows, but this is like, some of this is really... Yeah. The one last week with a girl eating steak, raw meat in
raw
the mirror.
Meat, you know.
What is going on in the world?
Meat in the mirror.
Yeah. I'm starting with some meat in the mirror. I'm asking him to eat it raw.
Don't bother turning on the oven.
Yeah. Steak tartare. Right, so email dinner. Hello, should I have beans or toast or some gammon for dinner? Gavin in Shenfield.
Can't go wrong with a gammon.
I hate gammon. I don't even like the sound of it. The sound of gammon just puts me off.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's just a name. You just don't like the name.
I don't like the name. I don't like pork in that form as well. Like, I like bacon, but anything that's bigger than that level of pork, like, I couldn't eat a pork chop.
Mm-hmm.
And just the word gammon is off-putting to me. You can't be a geezer in wheelies and eat gammon, basically. You've got to be cool.
You can't do both. You've got to pick.
Exactly.
God, geez, which one?
If I rolled up in my Heelys and I'm like, hey, so what are you having tonight? Oh, I'm having gammon and eggs. Right, I'm out of here. Too cool for you.
I'm going to go online and do some shopping for some Heelys.
Just size 10. Size 10. My mum asked me what I want. I'm going to say some size 10 Heelys.
I'll go some Heelys. Standard. Mama. Hey, mama.
Yeah.
I want some Heelys.
I want some Heelys and a heel. Absolutely. Yeah, go for beans on toast for that, by the way, Gav.
Make sure they're Heinz.
Yeah, go for... All right, branding. Okay.
Oh.
Fish, I've just cooked some salmon. Do you have any tips for getting rid of fishy smells in kitchens? Sasha in Cookham.
Second Sasha.
Yeah.
Open that window and put on the old overhead ventilator, I say.
Yeah, just get a more extreme smell in there, if not. You know, stop, make a curry or something like that. Just blow it away.
Or some spices. Open up some jars of spices or tubs, and then that's always nice. Waft it in.
Yeah.
I love the smell of spices in a kitchen.
I like the smell of salmon, though. I wouldn't necessarily want to get rid of that. Yeah, so maybe it's about being happy with what you've got there, Sasha.
My thing is, if you're eating or something, it doesn't matter what the house smells like, because you're having it as the meal anyway. If you've had the meal and then it still stinks and then someone comes in after the fact, then it's an issue.
Yeah, yeah. And then just cook something else.
Yeah, because you didn't cook any for them. So.
Get some bacon out there, cook that up, and it will smell of bacon sandwiches, which is always appealing, isn't it?
Bacon sandwiches.
But don't cook gammon, because even if the smell's there, you're still eating gammon, and then you'll get no one in some Heelys. Anyway, it's time to crack on with our next song, Lionel.
Yeah. Oh, this next one by Anderson .Paak. I heard him on the Games album in one of the singles. I thought, oh, this guy's really got a nice voice, and I always like kind of trying to look for new music. Checked out his album, and this is a great remix of one of his songs on there. But a lovely lady, but it's called Drugs.
Oh, okay. Here we go. This is Anderson .Paak, Drugs with DK the Punisher.
She don't give a fuck. She don't ever stress me. We don't even talk. All we do is sex and leave. No, there's no love. She don't even like me. But if we have drugs, she can be my wifey. When we have drugs. Yeah. When we have drugs. When we have drugs, yeah. When we have drugs, yeah. I got lost up in it, got lost up in it, got hot for minutes. Set my lust for life and these lights are bright and I love these women. Said we poppin' slow and we do the dance like we more than winning. What a nigga. Said she off the beat but she fine as fuck, so I find the rhythm. No love is greater in this whole world. We made up, this love is made up, made up, made up, made up, made up. I don't know this bitch, but I love this shit, and we both go spend it. And she loud as fuck, so I grab and touch, and she don't get offended. They gon' call the law if we don't get lost, so we're talking lot. She don't like me, dog, she just like the drugs, my nigga, don't get it twisted. How many more can you get to me? How many more can you get to me?
Sex and leave. No, there's no love. She don't even like me.
But if we are drugs, she will remind me when we are drugs. When we are drugs. When we are drugs. When we are drugs.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Lord.
Nice, nice little sound there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she didn't like him, so, you know.
Little,
his impact there.
Little blue for our listeners.
But he's an angry boy, he's an angry boy. I mean, when the girls are just messing him about, it's you get a bit peed off sometimes. You know?
There you go. Is that to say it? You are listening to Johnny and Inell. We're live and loud on FUBAR Radio.
Live and loud with Johnny and Inell on FUBAR Radio.
My mum did actually text me and say, what colour Heelys do you want? yeah, she's certainly thinking it's literal. And it is literal, actually. I'd go for green ones if you can. We also had a little tweet in from Queen Bee, who says, what was it? These people should be bopped on the nose, the fat shamers, basically.
Bopped on the nose.
I absolutely think you're right as well, to be fair. Terrible people. Mm. We are moving into our Lendoneer section now.
Ooh.
The infamous Lendoneer section.
Infamous. Remind them, Johnny, what is Lendoneer for those who just tuned in?
So, Lendoneer section is where we get our listeners to write in with their problems, and then we give them absolutely foolproof, guaranteed to work advice. Only the best advice here.
That's right.
Really exclusive advice as well, because that's what we offer.
That's right. I can hear it. There's a couple of people listening to you right now, and they're thinking, I've got a problem. Yeah. Well, if you do, guys, email it in right now. Johnny and I now at FUBARradio.com.
Yeah, because we offer an A&E service as well on the hoof. Style problem solving. So get your problem sent in right now. Before we crack on, actually. Right, so first one, sportswear problem. Oh, this is our problem, actually. I'll leave that in a minute. Oh my God, Heelys. That story is crazy. It's the same thing happened to me.
It's probably the same guy.
It's just one dude in London just rolling around.
I'm really enjoying the dates up until he gets to drinks.
Either it's a new trend or it's the same man. I met my one in a bar, and let's just say it went well as we left to go home together. Wink, winky time. Unlike the other lady, he didn't reveal his Heelys until we were walking to the bus stop.
I'm not walking.
Oh, dear. Maybe he was anxious to get home as we're walking, the wheels came out and he essentially wheeled down the road. He seemed to forget that I wasn't on wheels as well.
And he left it.
And he was holding my hand, so I'm basically running alongside him. Let's quicken the pace a bit, shall we?
It's chilly out here, come on.
There's no point in having these wheels if I ain't going to use them. Let's go.
Come on, run. Take your wheels off.
Oh, no, it's the curb. Stole that one out. Oh, she's gone down. Oh, no. It must have looked a tad unusual as I saw someone take a photo on their phone.
She's trending.
Too good.
She's trending on the Heelys.
God knows where that ended up. I should probably check Twitter. Love you both, Tracy and Surbiton.
Thanks for that, Tracy.
Thank you very much, Tracy.
Hashtag Heelys. Check there first.
What is going on in the world? Do you know what? It shows you just like, we all live like a blink of lives. I didn't think this stuff was going on.
Same here. What did we have last week? Meat eaters, like people being sick in soups.
Mm.
Now we've got Heelys.
There's genuinely so many loose cannons out there, you know. Like, I wouldn't put this up there necessarily with someone eating raw meat in a mirror as someone goes to sort themselves out before some, you know, action. But Heelys at, you know, middle age, it's just what is the world coming to? You know, it's just unbelievable. I might get some Heelys, though. I'm not even joking. I just think it'd be so cool.
I just love the fact that, like, she's, like, obviously clearly tipsy, and she's like, yeah, let's go home with him.
Yeah.
And then she's forced to run.
It's just brilliant. Just brilliant.
I haven't even lined my stomach. I haven't eaten properly. And she's running down the road.
No, I just love the idea. Oh, quick, that's our bus. Come on. I'm in heels. Well, I'm in Heelys.
Probably made her go in the road as well.
Absolutely. Take them off.
These shoes are on pavement. You're not allowed them on the pavement.
Absolutely. These guys are clearly the kinds of guys who wouldn't even take Heelys off in bed as well. Just be like, look, when you're into Heelys, you're just into Heelys. You've got to go all the way. I'm not taking them off. It's you or the Heelys. If it's you or the Heelys, I pick the Heelys every day.
Heelys in the bedroom.
Awesome stuff. Thank you very much for that, Tracy in Surbiton.
Wow.
Right, it's problem time.
Do you know what? I have a feeling that's not the last Healy story.
If there are any more, keep them coming in, because I'm really enjoying them. Right, what's the first problem, I know?
So the first problem we got sent in, it's a difficult one. So have a listen, people, and see what you think. My best friend of 25 years is moving away to Leeds with her fiancé for good in a few days' time, and I hate it. I have never liked her, man. He's older than her, 45. Aggressive, already has two kids in their teens with previous partners, and she could do so much better. She's a beautiful girl, and he's a meathead that you'd probably find on Jeremy Kyle. I feel like she is devoting herself to him, as he seems to be the only person who has shown interest in her and as she is a career-orientated girl. She's afraid of being alone, yet she is only 30. I feel very helpless as a friend, and for someone who has always been there for her, it's hard to see her make such a massive decision that will impact her entire life. She'll have to leave her job, which she's doing so well in, her friends and her family, and start anew in a brand new city, as well as becoming a stepmom for someone else's kids. Every time I bring it up, we row, and I feel we grow further away from each other, so I try to keep quiet about it, and in recent times, and mind my own business. But last night, we had her going away drinks, and after I left, it hit me like a ton of bricks, and I feel compelled that I need to do something. But what?
Wow. That's a big one, that is.
It's a truckload.
Oh, yeah.
So to sum up real quick, is basically her friend's going away, moving away.
To Leeds,
who she's been friends with for a long time. And she feels as if she's making a massive mistake. Should she mind her own business, or does she have a point? Mm.
Well, I do. I mean, I like the fact that she's had to label this guy as a potential Jeremy Kyle contestant. Right. Get the abuse in first of all, don't you? And then try and act more balanced later on. Who's a meathead?
He's a bloody meathead.
She's saying he's aggressive and stuff like that. Oh, is he has two kids as well. Mm. I mean,
it seems like a lot for someone to take on in a relationship, I guess. She's basically moving away to a brand new place, away from her friends and family, to become a mum to two kids that aren't hers, and to start anew by herself and her job and everything. She's basically giving up everything to live with this guy who already has his life.
Yeah, well, I mean, so basically, she touched on a few things on that anyway. One that her friend was quite career orientated, probably struggled to meet other people in the first place. Yeah. And first of all, to put it out there could just be a case where she just loves him. Mm. That's the guy for her, and she's doing it. That could be out there anyway.
Yeah.
But by the sounds of what this person is saying, it's not necessary. Like, he's a bit of a twat.
Mm.
But
he seems to be the only person who's kind of showed her attention.
Exactly.
And so she's kind of jumped onto it.
Yeah, and she's getting into panic mode and basically taking what's on the offer on the table.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, as well, is the fact that he has he's older and got a couple of kids is actually kind of more attractive to some, like, women in situations. At least he's probably more settled in that respect than some of the people who she might be struggling to get to think about settling down with as well, you know. Because he's got some kids already, it's probably not how I'd roll. In fact, it ain't how I'd roll. But some people can get down with that. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I wouldn't say that's a reason to write him off per se that front.
I think that's more of an age thing, I guess. I guess in terms of, like, I guess the older you get, the more you kind of expect it as being a norm that if you're going to meet someone, that they're probably likely to have kids. So,
and this guy already does. I guess it's another, well, we don't know, but I guess the question is he willing to have more kids with her as well? Because he's already got kids of his own that are teenagers. So it's whether he's willing to kind of do that thing again.
But to be,
we don't know.
But to be honest, you know, to a certain extent, it doesn't really matter. Yeah. Like, the fact is if she's happy, then she's happy. And what it comes down to for this person is they're saying, I feel compelled to do something, but what can I do? You can't really do anything. If you know, at the end of the day, if she's happy with it, then you can either get on board or your friendship's going to dwindle anyway. That's just the simple facts of it.
Yeah, I think that's the danger. I think a lot of people kind of go through certain things. I guess they have, they're really tight with their friends. And so when that friend suddenly disappears, it becomes like, oh, no. You go into panic mode. And I guess you almost become a bit selfish in a way because you're like, oh, I'm losing something. Why am I losing something? And then that's why I guess you kind of want to do something about it because you're losing someone because of someone else. And especially if you don't like that other person.
Yeah.
Then it's,
if he's a meathead.
If he's an aggressive, I love that phrase!
If he's an aggressive meathead,
he's
then
a meathead.
It feels like you need to do something.
That just conjures up images in your head. When someone says a meathead, you're like, ugh.
Meet Gammon Ed, mate.
Gammon.
No, but to be honest, like the thing that I kind of think about this is, you know, yeah, obviously, you know, it's tough to see your friends go. It happens to everyone in one respect or another. Some people do it, manage it better than others, but in general, you also don't like. Basically, if he is being aggressive to her and stuff like that, those are the things where you want to kind of get involved.
Yeah.
If it's just simply you don't like him, it's none of your business, I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm.
So you by causing issues with that, you're only going to drive her further away, you know, more into kind of his arms. Because if she is happy and you're just causing problems, then you're going to look like the bad one.
I'm with you on that. I think the only worry I have is the fact she's moving away from, like, I guess her support network, and then because that becomes, I guess, a danger when you kind of when you move away. It's people move away all the time for like work and stuff like that and whatever, or traveling. But I guess when you give up your support network to just be with someone else, you're basically just vanishing away. And like, of course, they can call and WhatsApp and whatever. But I guess it's very different if you're like 100 miles away and you can't just suddenly just be there for them if they need you.
Definitely. I mean, it is a tough one. It is a tough one. But ultimately, I think that you have to tread carefully on this one and just be like, look, to be fair, if you always come from a position of I just want the best for you and I just, you know, rather than I don't like him, because otherwise you're setting yourself up in a kind of rivalry with him, and he's, you know, one way or another, he seems to have more influence right now, so you don't really want to have to go down that route. Yeah. If she's still being nice or whatever, but you can raise concerns and just say, look, I'm worried about you going up there and being cut off from everyone else, blah, blah, blah. And then if you put it out there, then if it actually happens, it will be in her mind for her to realise rather than, you know.
You have to kind of just be there for her if she does kind of need you in that sort of way. And I guess in some regards, you have to kind of think she's a grown woman as well. She's an adult and she's smart enough to kind of know, like, if things aren't for her, then not to do this sort of thing. As you said, she's a career-orientated girl. She's headstrong. She's not a silly person that's going to just fall in. I guess some people, they do silly things when they're in love, but,
you know,
it's
and some people just go for, you know, Jeremy Kyle contestant meatheads who live in Leeds. That's not what they're attracted to. So, to be honest, let her have her day in the sun. She's won. But there you go.
You've won yourself a meathead.
a Yorkshire gammonhead. But there you go. That would be my advice. Just tread carefully, but you can raise some concerns, but always about her well-being in terms of, oh, I don't want you isolate all of this, rather than I don't like him. There's no point in pitting yourself against him at this stage.
Exactly.
Unless he does something really bad, then go straight for him and tell him that Johnny and I and Elle said. Okay, that's solid gold advice. On to our next one.
What's next?
We've got one that's just been written in here via email.
Ooh.
A&E.
A&E.
Facebook problem.
Oh.
Hello, Johnny and I and Elle.
Hi.
I am in the middle of a Facebook war.
Oh.
Someone keeps writing Facebook posts on my Facebook, pretending to be me. It's nothing nasty, just stuff like, I love Justin Bieber, and I wonder how many gummies I can fit in my mouth. I have changed my password twice now and don't know what to do. I have suspicions on who it is. I want to confront them about it. How do I bring them up? Wally.
Ooh.
Mm. Well, this is it.
Was it fraping, isn't it?
That's well, yeah, doing. Yeah. I mean, you might have to get control of this one because it could get really out of hand very quickly.
I've seen some messy ones.
Yeah. Starts with Justin Bieber. It quickly progresses on to other things. Start people adding you into relationships with people.
People get really good. they go crazy on them in the way they kind of... And sometimes they write it in the way that sounds like you. And so it's like, oh! And then you can see the comments underneath. People actually start believing it. It's like, uh-oh.
Slagging people off and tagging people in it as well. I used to
watch when they start playing with political kind of affiliations and views.
Yeah,
start saying some outlandish stuff.
The subtle ones are the best, to be fair, because if they're like completely different to the person, and you know, it's like, oh, you know, I like picking my nose or something random like that. People go, well, that's obviously not them. But what I used to do with my ex was when she'd leave her iPad out, I'd play like Bejeweled, that game, yeah, and I'd post my high scores and just be like, yes, I've just beat my high score. and tag loads of her friends in it. Just subtle stuff like
getting them to send you lives in Candy Crush.
Exactly. Just be like,
come on.
Wow, this is a great Tuesday. I've just managed to beat my own score with a 5-joule multiplier. Just really geeky stuff. Because that's believable. And people are like, why have you tagged me in this?
I wanted to see my high score.
Yeah, tagging people and being like, I just wanted you to know so we could celebrate and stuff like that. Yeah.
On a serious note, though, you can set up like a text login thing on your Facebook. So every time someone wants to log in, a text gets sent to your phone, and you have to put in the special code before you can log in. So you could try that if you'd want them to stop doing it. But in terms of confronting them, I say, yeah, go for it, man.
Oh, absolutely, confront them,
yeah,
definitely.
Go for it.
Accuse away.
Are you been touching my Facebook, man?
Yeah, stop it before it grows out of control. A sportswear problem.
Oh.
Hi, my friend Lionel appears to be regressing into a child. He wears sportswear all the time, not even the same brand. He mashes up his Nikes and Reeboks like a madman. It's fine to wear it at the weekend, but the man turned up to a wedding reception in a Kappa tracksuit.
How you turn up in a tracksuit, man?
A Kappa one as well. Kappa aiming me
with a big logo on the side. You don't know what I mean.
Absolutely. But logos running down the sides of the legs. Do you remember the poppers? The poppers ones where you could split them open, rolling in like that. Yeah. Yeah. This wedding's cool, you know. Just got the option.
Suddenly they're flares.
Just got the option of aerating downstairs. There you go. Brilliant. When's this wedding done? He said it was the high-end one, and it was smart casual, but I'm not having it.
Oh,
no, I'm not having it either.
No, smart casual. What wedding is smart casual anyway?
Well, wedding possibly...
smart casual.
Wedding is possibly going to accept a Kappa tracksuit as attire. It's outrageous. He also goes on dates in sports clothes. The dates have not been successful. Well, with his wheelies as well. Kappa tracksuit and wheelies. He told me one woman came to meet him in a restaurant, came to the table and just tutted and said no thanks and then left.
No thank you.
No thanks.
It's not for me.
He was annoyed about that, as he says he would have paid.
No loss.
I love how he sees it.
It was in a harvester, so that could have something to do with it as well. This has got to stop. What should I do, Warren in Chigwell?
Wow,
that is a great one, Warren.
Do you know what? Some people just don't have any idea how to kind of go on a date or kind of anything around that. They have no... That sounds like this guy has no complete understanding whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean...
I mean, turning up to dates and weddings and tracksuits sounds like he's just putting bare minimum effort in, or he just doesn't know
how much effort to put in.
Well, to be honest, you know, people could wear what they like anyway. You know, fair play. Mm. Less so for the wedding. That's just ridiculous. Like, you know, someone needs to have a genuine word with you. If you roll into in a Kappa tracksuit to a wedding reception, what is going on?
I can imagine all the guests like, is
I think someone's deal is here.
Well, exactly. Did somebody order a cab? I mean, dear.
Do you know him?
Yeah. Does everyone know where their bags are?
Keep an eye on the bag. Timmy, where's the bags? Where's the bags?
I'm pretty sure he's rolled up with a JD Sports string bag. He's loading the volumes into his JD bag.
Excuse me, what are you doing, sir? What are you doing with those volumes?
But no, to be fair, you know, should wear it up to wear what he wants, apart from necessarily the wedding reception, but he's going to have to. He's going to keep struggling. There's no question about it. You're rolling out to dates in a tracksuit. Yeah. Do you know what my brother...
That's what you do when you're 16, 17.
Absolutely. My brother still rolls around in tracksuits all the time.
What, on dates?
I don't know, probably. He's probably done it once or twice. Sometimes he'll dress up really smart, but he's not afraid to roll around.
I'll roll around in tracksuits if I'm going to, like, the gym or just going up the road or something.
No, like, I mean, I would do that, but, yeah, I mean, he rolls around in just ridiculous attire. Sometimes it's like, oh, my God, what is that?
Is it?
What is that? Oh, yeah. No. And he's got an Adidas, a full-blown Adidas tracksuit, which he rolls around in.
And you're like, oh, we're not brothers, are we?
Oh, absolutely. Just walk a couple of... I'm a couple of steps back on my wheelies, judging him.
No, you go ahead. Yeah. I'm just going to cruise on.
I'm just wheeling back here.
How embarrassing.
He's got no style. He actually hasn't, though, to be fair. It's really dreadful. But, I mean, yeah, I think you... Don't get me wrong, I've got my grey sweatpants, which come on as soon as I get home when I'm chilling out and stuff. Mm. But I think it's growing out of tracksuit time. There's got to be an age where you've got to say, enough's enough. Really is. Enough is enough.
How old is he, did it say in the email?
He is... No, he didn't say it, actually. I'd imagine he's... You know, he's getting on a bit, to be fair. I mean, if he's going to the Harvester on a first day, he's probably probably older.
Oh dear. I used to say that. My old flatmate, she used to get really happy when a guy would take her on a date because she wouldn't go on them too often. And then she'd come back and she'd be all happy and stuff. I was like, oh, I had to go. Yeah, we went to Harvester. And I was like, You went to Harvester, did you?
yeah, it's great. Yeah. It's like,
oh, you got up your game, girl.
Yeah, I know.
Got up your game.
Ask for a little bit more. Come on, you're better than that.
Up your game.
The thing is as well, you remember
don't
that?
Roll over too quick.
Do you remember the Harvester advert as well? It's like, no. We're gonna make it a night to remember. Get ready tonight. And they're sticking old corn on the cobs on the light roaster, and they're like, yeah, everyone's smiling. When in reality, it's nothing like that. There's a geezer in a Kappa tracksuit in the corner going, you can have anything on the menu, love. Don't worry about it.
I'm paying.
Yeah. Where are you going? Where are you going? Oh, not this again. I've had a geezer of Healy.
It's not for me.
I do love that. No. No thanks.
No, thank you.
What a great life. I want to meet that girl. I want to put that girl on a date with a guy in Heelys. That's what I want to do. And just say, no thanks. Your loss.
You know, the difference with the guy in the Heelys, though, is he's got a bit of charm to him because all the girls are saying they enjoyed the dates with him up until the point they discovered the Heelys. It was like he was doing well. I mean, one of them, he was taking her home.
He's got mad, yeah. Got mad game.
He was like, yeah, I just live up the road.
But that's it, to be fair.
It's a 10-minute bus ride, or 5 minutes on Heelys.
Yeah. Make your own mind up. To be fair, you're right, he was doing well. This guy sounds like he's been struggling from day dot.
Yeah.
Right, nice one, Warren in Chigwell. Yeah. I think that overall...
I think, especially for the weddings, man.
Overall, let him know that the weddings is not acceptable for, you know, and you're going to have to pretend that you don't know him when you're around him.
Imagine he's the best man, you know that.
Exactly. Got a little flower clipped onto his Kappa tag.
Right in front of the logo.
Yeah, covering it up. But the rest of it, you just have to get on. And to be honest, get a bit of enjoyment out of some of these horror shows as well. Mm. I would if it was my mate. But not a desperate problem, because he sounds like he's having a laugh, this guy, anyway, so there we go. But a great story, Fitch, cheers for that, Warren.
Thank you.
Men on, right, we've got a better crack on actually because we've got our interview. So Men on Wheels, hello, I haven't had a Healy experience, but I've had a wheeled one. Oh. I was going on a second date with a man and I'd fancied him for so long and really, really liked him. He said he'd pick me up and take me to the restaurant. I assumed he meant in a car. He didn't.
Huh? As what?
Meet me. As 8 p.m., I heard a knock on my door and was impressed he was right on time. I gave him a hug and came outside, but I couldn't see a car. I started to feel
where you parked.
I started to feel the worst when I looked down and saw he was wearing rollerblades. Oh no. I asked him where it was, and he said he meant he would actually give me a lift to the restaurant. Remember, I said I really liked him. This could be the only reason. I thought, why not? And went along with it. Just came to make you try a lot of things. Mm. I climbed onto his back and got a piggyback on wheels to the restaurant and home afterwards. I went out with him for a few dates after that, and then it just fizzled out. I wonder who he's wheeling around town now. Belinda in Essex. Nice one, Belinda.
People have got some amazing stories, man. Absolutely amazing.
The thing is, that's like on the verge, though, isn't it, of someone being quirky and creative.
Trying to have fun and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, like, and, you know, like, the thing is, wheelies is just actually, like, straight up. They think that's acceptable and cool, but someone shows up on rollerblades, you're in danger of going...
It would have been fun if he brought some rollerblades for
her. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
But then it's like, yeah, get on the back, like, turn up to the restaurant all hot and sweaty.
Yeah, exactly.
Woo, boy, jump. You're heavier than I thought.
jump on that back. Here we go. Who piggybacks someone on rollerblades? What nutcase is this? Oh my!
Could you imagine them just scooting down the road?
Oh, they're in love.
Oh dear.
That's true.
That sounds like an
she
accident.
She must have really liked him, you know. She must have really. Because you can tell she's wearing it up in front of her house. She's like, oh. Yeah.
I love the way it fizzled out after as well. Like, after the initial impact of rollerblading on his back, just didn't have the spark anymore, you know. Didn't get me up for it anymore. Love that, though, Belinda and Essex. That's outrageous. There's a lot of people on wheels and dates.
I told you that weren't the last one.
No. There we go. Do you know what? It's time for a song, though. It's time for a song. And I am going to... I'm going to stick this one on. Now, shout out to Carly. She helped me remember this one. This is a great one. You'll probably hear that. You'll know the sample. This is called A Tale of Two, and it's by Eric Robeson. Here it comes.
Met her at Howard, lived in the towers, same floor that I was, which did allow us to sit and talk for hours, in between dealings, and all this unveiling, clearly there was feelings, she had a ceiling, we couldn't move further, at least she preferred to just have a friendship, we couldn't end it, too late, now we got way too involved, any trouble just to push it along, man a problem, deeply she had me, back in Miami. Wasn't just a family, she whispered so sadly that her heart belonged to a real good brother. She didn't intend to make me her lover. This is said after. But let's say I had her. But let's say I'd rather be the one that mattered. Okay, that sounds dramatic. Maybe I should just chill and let's let this little story hit build. Months invaded, and I hate to say it. I'm more like a replacement. Now I have to face it. The kiss that I gave her, I feel like I wasted. When I'm invited, I still want to taste it. So I still visit, try to imagine this time that we having. Was more like back when we were just chatting. Next thing that happened is a phone start to ring, and I'm laying there not saying a thing. Man. So I stop thinking more and more lately, before I go crazy. Another young lady maybe should be added. Yeah, that sound bad. It wasn't my intention. See, it made sense then. Yo, I wasn't thinking. Too busy hurting. Too busy working to hold her attention. Just like I mentioned, new chick comes in and I tell her the deal. Like, you can love me, but you can never feel. She got two, I got two.
thought this through like we would be cool. But boy, was I wrong, it didn't take long. Hope this little feeling here to grow real strong. Chick find out Miami dude was doing her wrong. Though she rocked the same song, act like she don't sing along. Now he gone, now she under me like the day is the sun. Now she trying to tell me that I'm the one. Now she wants to make this official, but I got an issue. She gonna need tissue when this talk is over. Sat and I told her that I no longer need her. I wanna, at least in a fashion, see that can happen when all the passion is exchanged for smashing. And the simple fact is, she can't get mad cause she taught me the game. So of course I will be doing the same, yeah. The situation, more like role playing. Strangers in the day and lovers in the AM. So all that I'm saying, she asked for a favor. When a man came up, act like a neighbor. The whole time waiting, the whole time hating. Visions that I'm having, other fun they having. Man, you can't imagine how it feels now just to change up the scene. Flip the script if you know what I mean. Now she don't wanna, but I want to. I thought this through, but oh what a fool. These girls are too smart, it's about to get dark. Soon they meet each other and it doesn't take long. I should have thought of this coming from start. Now they playing me hard like they playing their part. Now I'm caught, bad news hit me, coming one at a time. Both are pregnant and they saying it's mine.
Yeah, they really need to chill, huh? Cause they're only gonna hurt like trying to share your love with. Cause love is only meant for. Be careful who you'll be with. Yeah.
Now yes, there's a lesson here to be learned. Conversation and waste for its time. You may not see the crime that you're doing, but believe at some point you'll pay. Stories of warning for those acting young. Playing with emotions, your times may be fun. Be careful with the games you're playing. You may just be the one who's played.
You're listening to Johnny Arnell, and we are live and loud on FUBAR Radio.
Live and loud with Johnny and Arnell on FUBAR Radio.
That's right, you're locked into the right station with the right people. You're
absolutely.
In the right place.
That was a good tune.
Yes, it was. Love a bit of Eric Robinson.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was good.
Email.
Yeah, we are going to be cracking on with that exclusive Doc Brown interview live on location at the David Brent Film in 2 seconds, but we'll just get these emails done first. Bubbles, hi guys. After a hard day at work, my other half likes to come home and blow bubbles. Okay. He has 13 different bubble machines and has a fake pipe that blows bubbles. Is this bizarre? Kelly in East Croydon.
Is he like a children's like entertainer?
Yeah, if that's his hard day at work, then maybe it's busman's holiday when he gets home. Yeah. Still working. Just, wow. Yeah, if he's sitting there, like, in front of the fire instead of a real pipe, just, like, bubbles coming out.
How was school?
Don't suck, just blow.
Yeah, yeah.
Be careful, you don't want it going in the wrong hole there.
Fine, yeah. I would say that's a bit bizarre. But you know what? You stick with him, Kelly, because yeah. He sounds like he's all right apart from
exactly,
that.
Exactly, Kelly. I mean, he could have some Healy, so, you know.
Exactly. 13 different bubble machines. What's going on?
Sure. Bubble machines. Is there, like, a difference in the way
I know, the technique. Surely on the ninth one, you're having a word, Kelly, going, I think it's too much now. Okay. Should we stop with the bubbles now, please? Oh, dear. Nice one for that, Kelly. It is bizarre, yeah. Monkey man. Hello, chaps. Just fire into him now. I just smash through him. Monkey man, hello, chaps. I was approached by a very handsome gentleman in a bar last Friday. After a while, he said he had to go and I should hit him up on Facebook. Over the weekend, I did a bit of internet stalking. I discovered that he had a passion for monkeys and visited Monkey World several times and had done some conservation work with monkeys. Okay?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So, up to now. I then messaged him. We chatted back and forth for a while and said how much that I liked how he had a passion for our simian cousins.
After a few dates, we went back to his house for a Netflix and chill.
Got the subscription sorted.
Absolutely. Got Congo on the...
King Kong.
That's where I saw the horror. Oh. He wasn't passionate about prime apes. He was obsessed.
Oh, gosh.
He had monkey teddies, posters, and hundreds of monkey books.
Oh, no.
When we went to the bedroom, he just turned to me and said, "Meet Tarzan, Eugene."
Shut up! Shut up!
What is going on? What is going on?
Meet Tarzan!
What is going on here? This relationship didn't last long.
Of course it didn't!
And that's from Esma. Esma,
run! If someone says that to you, just run.
No, yeah, exactly. Me, Charles, and you, Jane. No, me going. Me going now.
Me leaving.
Me Uber.
Me Uber.
We're getting the hell out of here, mate. Swing on your own vines.
Oh,
absolutely
gosh.
Outrageous.
Obsessed.
Who rolls like that? Who says things
people
and does things
right
like that? Absolutely mental
Every
stuff.
Every email we've had in is a guy. It's a crazy guy.
It's mental dudes.
It's
and honestly,
mental dudes.
Do you know what?
How am I in the friend zone?
Our stock is rising. Exactly. I think you're heading out the friend zone, mate.
I better be at that friend zone.
Because I tell you what, you'd never roll like that. I know you wouldn't.
Thank
I
you,
do
thank
that
you.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'd
other
my
stuff,
own mind,
but. Got your own kinks to me, but plenty of them emails that get screened.
Vibes, why don't you use chains?
decent. Thanks for that, Esma. Absolutely outrageous
wow,
stuff.
That's
nice.
The real life Tarzan.
Better off without him. Boyfriend's best friend problem. I've been with my boyfriend for a while and things are going great. I've met his friends and really like them.
Oh, cool.
He'd mentioned his best friend, Big Marcus, before I had met him. He said when he introduces a girl to him, that means he's really into her.
Oh, yeah. That's a close friend, is that
him? I was at his house last night, and he said, "It's time for me to meet him." I was quite excited. He ran upstairs to get him, which I thought was a bit odd. When he came back downstairs, he introduced me to Big Marcus, who is a giant teddy bear. I thought he was joking, so I played along for a bit, but then realised he wasn't. Last night I had my first threesome, as apparently he likes to share a bed with Big Marcus. I spent last night in bed secretly Googling on my phone ways to kill a teddy bear. What should I do? Does this mean my boyfriend is gay for teddies, Sophie and Hersham?
Oh,
wow.
It sounds like I'm having Mr. Percy.
It's what is going on out in the world? Like, genuinely. I mean,
these last few weeks doing FUBAR, I've discovered a lot about
it. Illuminating,
about
isn't
mankind,
it?
Man.
Yeah, like the things that people need to get through life.
People are rolling crazy.
Absolutely, deep with teddies and stuff. I mean,
teddies!
I have got
and
a teddy.
Thumbs.
I've got a teddy, but like, I don't start. You know, he's not. I'm not
hold on,
hold
on. You got a teddy?
Yeah, Bruno.
Is it?
Yeah, but I mean, like, he's still there
in your flat.
Well, yeah, he's near. I ain't got him on bed anymore. I got him on the shelf
anymore.
No, I used to have him in the bed, yeah. But no, I don't care. I've had him since I was born. He's older than me. So not a problem. Bruno's looking out for me.
Right?
Bruno
stays.
Yeah, exactly. He keeps the monsters away as well, so joke's on you.
Does he have freezers with you as well?
He likes to watch.
He's a voyeur!
Oh dear.
you're one of them.
Maybe I should stop looking down my nose at some people. Those in glass houses and all that. Shouldn't have brought Bruno up, actually.
You should have kept that secret.
Wow. I don't know what you. Do you know what? Just come right out, Sophie, and ask him, you know. How deep is it with this teddy? Maybe he's joking around, but if not, just say, look.
Yeah, that would have been awkward for me.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even be able to do that. I don't think I'd be able to. Wow. If he's saying it's a threesome.
No, I mean, it's outrageous, isn't it? Yeah. Big Marcus has got to stay out.
No. Marcus likes being on top.
Oh, no. Dreadful.
No, move.
Dreadful
move.
Stuff.
Move over.
Yeah, I mean, if it really gets out of hand, though, you might just have to say it's me or Big Marcus. You know what I mean? Might just have to. Or just threaten to out him in front of his friends that about what he's doing because he'll soon stop it. Oh. Just say it's got to be purely platonic with you and Big Marcus. It's the only way to move forward. Nice one for that, though, Sophie. Oh. It is time now to crack on with a very exclusive interview with Doc Brown from the set of the new David Brent film, which is looking fantastic, by the way, isn't it?
It is. Oh, I'm excited for it. I am. I really am.
It's going to be spectacular. Well, here it is. This was us on location, because we do that now, on location at David Brent film, interviewing Doc Brown.
Hello, this is Johnny.
I know.
There you go. Inel's here as well. Yeah, we're really excited at the moment because we are actually on the set of the new David Brent movie.
That's right, Life on the Road.
Yeah, and just when you thought that we can actually do anything else, we've managed to show that we can do roaming reporter stuff as well.
Oh, yeah.
And we have managed to grab none other than the sensational Doc Brown on the shoot right now, showing how many contacts we've got.
Incredible.
How you doing, Doc?
Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm good. You caught me in the lunch break. Perfect timing. Just had a chicken and egg pie. Feeling good.
Oh, perfect.
He's ready to go in for the filming.
Yeah, we cooked that pie. That's why we've managed to bargain our way in. So, yeah, this is we're quite hyped. We're quite hyped because this is our first day on a movie set, isn't it, I know?
Well, it is, yeah. It's great to be on such a massive kind of film set as well.
It's a huge operation. And this particular scene that we're shooting today is one of the sort of many disastrous gigs that Brent goes on the road. So we got loads of extras. We got three cameras, so that's three camera crews. And, you know, it's just a mass of people. And even though you think, not all these people can be doing something. They all are. You take one away and the house of cards crumbles. It's the way a film super shoot goes. But yeah, it's something to behold, definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man. And a lot of people kind of know the kind of David Brent kind of character. Mm. And it's nice that we kind of finally get to see what he's been up to these last years.
Yeah.
But tell us, how does your character kind of play a part in this movie as well?
Okay, well, it's kind of an extension of a sketch that we wrote for Comic Relief in 2013, where we catch up with David and he's basically doing kind of like door-to-door sales. And there's a young guy he's met along the way who, you know, also dreams of being in the music business as a rapper. And that's the character I play.
Sounds like it's coming from a real place.
Well, very much so. You know, we're both failed musicians who went into something completely different, you know. And once you failed and then moved on, you can laugh at it, you know. So there's definitely an element of that for both of us, and that's why the songs in the movie and all the musical moments are so sort of kind of spot on, I think, because we both know the sort of po-faced worlds that we came from and how seriously we used to take it, so we can pastiche it almost perfectly. What's really, really hard is to create songs that are funny that don't immediately have like really clear jokes. So like I couldn't do songs like I do the songs in my stand-up, because you walk into the stand-up show and you accept that whatever I say is going to be a contrived joke. So you're ready for a joke structured as a joke. With these songs, we're trying to play characters who genuinely think they're good.
Yeah.
Singers,
you know,
so yeah, the lyrical side of it for both of us, there's been times where we've written things that we pissed ourselves laughing, but then at the same time we've gone, it's too obviously a joke. Why would they write that into a song that they were serious about? So it's a really kind of weird mind frame where we've got to work out how intelligent our characters are, not that intelligent. So what would they say that could be real in the real world? And that's what's been the trickiest thing, but we feel like we've got it now. We feel like we've just properly got that that technicality down. And it's a tricky one, but I think we're there.
Sounds like you have to go into like method acting to kind of
do, because like, especially like with the raps, you know, I'm always thinking every joke I analyze within the verses that I've written for this movie, I thought, could I see a rapper saying it? And if I, for real, like straight faced, and as long as like that, it passes that test, it's in. No matter how ridiculous it is, you know.
So I'm an absolutely massive Office fan as well. You're a massive Office fan as well. I think we had a conversation about it before.
It's a game changing show, you know.
So what? I mean, how does it feel to be now working on something that has obviously influenced you so greatly as well?
I'll be honest, it's been 2 years now since we came up with the idea of doing this as like a bigger project. And it's only just sinking in now, because we did the Comic Relief thing. And even then, like, all I could think was, like, Ricky's brought back the office, like, for me. Like, we've built this kind of thing around this story. And it just really wouldn't sink in. And every time we'd link up, there'd be a part of me sitting next to him. We'd be talking, you know, exchanging stories, telling jokes, writing songs, but I'd still be sat there going, it's Ricky Gervais. Yeah. And it's taken me sort of 2 years to get over that. And now, like, you know, just see each other every day for work and just chatting about this and that. And it's like, finally, I'm like, okay, like, I've crossed that barrier now.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, when you're in the entertainment business, you just, no matter what level you're at, you never, unless you're just a complete arrogant nutcase, you never really feel like you're meant to be there. Do you know what I mean? So, like,
we constantly feel like we should be there.
Why am I here? So, yeah, this is the first time where I thought, dude, you're here because you've grafted your way. Like, you've worked it. You've impressed the right people, and you've put the time in, and you really want to, you know, you really want to put your mark on it. So, yeah, now I'm sort of, I feel like I'm in a zone now where I'm kind of oozing with confidence, you know. Because the trickiest thing for this at the start, when it was just at the early stages of the script, was thinking, I've got to write the content for this film that millions of people are going to see. Like, it's not like, you know, Jonglers Watford, where I die and then everybody's
tough kick
like,
there.
It's a tough kick. Everybody's forgotten by the next week, or they don't even remember what my name is. Like, this, it has to be my best work, you know? So, yeah, I've got to a point now where I've taken that pressure off myself. Yeah. But then in the early stages, I had like it'd be like months at a time where Ricky would call me and he goes, oh, have you got an idea for that song yet? Or this scene, or like Talking Heads, there's a Talking Heads in it, you know, that we'll have to create our own content for. And I'd just be like, oh, it's coming.
Well, but, yeah, it's coming, man.
Don't worry. That horrible zone. When you start second guessing yourself and you think, oh, it's got to be the funniest thing it could possibly be. But I've never written anything funny from that start point. I've never got up in the morning, opened my laptop, stared at like a blank page on Word and thought, right, I'm going to write something hilarious. It's just, you know, you live your life, don't you? And it comes to you in the weirdest moments. So I just tried to relax on it, just took Ricky's encouragement, and eventually I gave him like more than he needed, you know. And we're only 2.5 weeks in, and we shot hours of stuff, man. Like, we've got hours of content, and the film will only be 90 minutes. So
was that the kind of collaborative process that you would all write your kind of individual bits, and then Ricky would pull it together? Is that the
kind of? I mean, the original sort of team was me, Ricky, and a comic called Tom Basden. I don't know if you come across him. He's the creator of Plebs, and he's also he's done a lot of stand up and musical stand up in his time as well. So it was more like a think tank of the three of us, and Ricky created like a skeleton script and just encouraged our input. And then we have these Talking Heads moments, which me and Tom will just write for ourselves. But even then, on the day of shooting, Ricky will hit you with like a curveball question. He'll be sat next to the camera and you're opposite him, and he'll just hit you with a curveball question and force you to improvise something, you know. And then when he likes something, he'll be like, okay, just say that again and truncate it, make it a bit shorter. Or he'll just go, boom, that's it. And you're like, well, I haven't even done the thing I've written. He's like, no, that was perfect. You know, so it's a very free and easy atmosphere. Ricky always makes sure we rap early. We don't do too many takes of anything, so everything stays fresh and funny. And, you know, we've got the written lines, which we know are funny, but we'll always do a take where he just goes, right, let's just go off on one and see what comes up. So there's so many options. And I think, you know, if we can make it a 90-minute movie, it will guaranteed be a comedy classic, but the extra content for the fans is going to be insane.
You reckon that method of working kind of helps you relax into doing this whole role? Because I know you have in the writing process and then the actually performing in there as well, along with Tom as well. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, do you feel as if that it makes it easier for Ricky to be a director that allows you to have that freedom?
It definitely does now. But on the first few days, it takes you a little while to find your feet. Because you know how it is with improvisation. It's just one of those things where you've just got to not care about it. You've just got to say, to yourself, I'm just going to open my mouth and go for it. I'm just going to be positive and just say whatever's on your mind. As soon as you go, you wait, and then you're watching the other actors and you're thinking about what you're going to say, it's not going to be good. So you need to be fully relaxed and non-self-conscious to be able to do that at a high level. And I'd say that took me the first couple of days. But now we're all in, everyone gets to know each other better. We're together with each other for more time in every day than we are with our own families, you know. So that's the nature of a film shoot. So the more you get to know everyone, the more you feel like, oh, this is just like mucking around in my bedroom at home, or, you know, in school, you know. You feel that confidence course through you.
Knocking about in your bedroom with David Brent.
Yeah. Actually, we do have a bedroom scene coming up. This I think it's this week. Yeah, because there's a point in the tour, I hope this isn't too much of a spoiler, where money's running a bit low, so we have to start sharing a hotel room. And it's just me and him in this really awkward kind of Morecambe and Wise-esque situation. So yeah, there will be some mucking around in the bedroom with David Brent this week.
Thanks so much, Doc, for talking to us. We're all super, super excited about the upcoming film, and keep your eyes peeled for that one, guys. It's going to be awesome. Apart from that, we're going to stick around and see you guys perform the stuff, but thanks for coming down.
No worries.
Live and loud with Johnny and Arnell on FUBAR Radio.
Exclusive, that was.
Absolute exclusivity there.
Mm.
That was us on the set of David Brent's new film. That was brilliant, to be fair.
It was.
And lots of fun. it was funny, because just seeing, like, Ricky and the older David Brent, I mean, it was just hilarious.
That's when I realised it's not a character. That's just him.
And he was walking around in those, like the kind of Asics trainers as well, like, you know, just like kind of middle-aged kind of look. It was just cool. But we were talking to Doc Huntley at one point, and then Ricky in Brent character was like hanging around on the sides, kind of half. But
did you say my name?
Hey, what's that? Yeah, literally. I don't even mean, but it was just funny. Like, I couldn't even look straight at him. He's just, you know, it's great, absolutely great. So thanks to Doc Brown for that, and do check out the film because it's going to be awesome.
Stuff coming out the beginning of next year, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, the stuff we were seeing was just hilarious. So I can't wait for that. So that's what we're doing now, guys. We don't rest on our laurels. We now do on-set interviews.
We get out and about.
Constantly working to bring you...
We should make that little thing. We should turn up to people's workplaces and just...
That's what the world needs, isn't it? Yeah. On-the-spot problem solving.
Yeah. We should turn up... We get the listeners. We'll turn up to their work and we'll do little interviews.
Yeah, maybe we will. Maybe we will. Certainly starting with the Healy people.
The Healy people first.
But we have just moved into the section where we are going to be doing Blast from the Past. Oh, that's right, guys. Obviously, our order is slightly out of sync this week because we had that exclusive interview.
I know, some people got a bit phased there. They're like, oh, what's happening?
I don't know what's going on.
It's not supposed to be now.
Where's Blast from the Past?
It's not supposed to be now.
But before we fire into Blast from the Past...
email.
Hobbies. Hello, my girlfriend has a hobby that I just don't get. She loves karaoke. It's fine to go out and do it, I guess, but she's got her own one at home and gets up in the morning for a quick song before breakfast.
Ooh.
Wow. I like a pint at the end of the day. She, however, has come home and said to me she's had a hard day and needs to unwind with a nice bit of karaoke. I was trying to put some moves on her the other night and she said she would, but she wanted to sing Bat Out of Hell first. How do I deal with this, Nick? Oh, dear.
She's the one that's got a concert soundtrack going on.
Yeah. That sounds intense.
To be fair, I kind of can understand that because... like, my mum was similar. She'd always be singing the entire time. When I was younger, like, in the house, she'd be singing constantly. She'd never know the words. So I wish she did have a karaoke machine so at least she could sing along properly.
Yeah, but it's...
Because she would just make up the stuff.
It's a bit different to people singing, though. I don't mind someone singing, but when someone's just going, look, yeah, I absolutely am in the mood. Yeah, I want to get down. Just one second. Look like a bat out of hell. No. No. I've lost it. No.
I'm trying to watch the football and it just turns over the channel so she can get a word. turns up on the screen.
Exactly. He gets up in the morning, bangs a tune out before work as well. But
oh, I'm late. I'm going to have the time for one.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great email, though, Nick. And, you've just got to have a word. Certainly no karaoke songs around sexy time. That's got to stop straight
Everyone's
up.
Everyone's partners are crazy.
Yeah,
that's the conclusion I've come to after today.
But we are in Blast from the Past section.
Yes. For those that don't know, Blast from the Past, what we do, we take a word and then we reminisce about that word and we talk about the different stories that word reminds us of. And the buzzword for today is Christmas.
Yeah, it's Christmas. We've gone into December and straight away we'll start talking Christmassy things. Because to be fair, that Coke advert's on now, isn't it? That's always when I know it's Christmas time. Holidays are coming.
They haven't replaced that in years. Yeah. That's like, what, 20 years old, that's it?
Yeah, I think they give it a little spruce, but it's similar kind of thing.
Touch up the drums a bit, yeah. Other than that.
Give Santa a bit of blusher on his cheeks. But that's about it. But it is Christmas, and I know this makes me think of a number of things, really. Certainly it makes me think about presents, and... I mean, I think I'm a pretty good present buyer, to be fair, but over the years, I have, I have certainly taken a different approach to buying presents for my family and stuff like that. I got into a period at one point where I was buying family presents for people. So everyone gets individual presents. Like, yeah, this one's for you. This one's, I'm like, no, I got you a family present. The first year it was a sandwich toaster.
The family didn't ask for that.
No, never got asked for. A lot of the time these family presents were things that I wanted. And I thought the family would loosely benefit from as well.
You had to find ways to justify it.
Absolutely. And as soon as people started having toasted sandwiches, I'm like, see? Hey, see? Merry Christmas.
Every time they use it, innit?
In June, just cook them up. Merry Christmas. and then after that, I bought a cordless telephone because certainly in the times when I was trying to, you know, get girlfriends and stuff like that, you couldn't just be in the front room talking because everyone's there. So I needed a cordless telephone so I could run into another room. And,
what a player.
Yeah, absolutely. That's when this started. Johnny, I'm on the other line.
You have to go next door and take this.
Yeah, exactly. So that was my family presents. I love Christmas. I love the old presents and stuff like that. Even as I get older, like, you know, presents mean less as I get older, I think. But there are other aspects which just remain important. And I remember one year, and I'm talking about certainly within the last few years, my mum didn't buy me a calendar, and I kicked off.
What, advent calendar?
Yeah. Didn't get a calendar, and I kicked off. And I'm sorry, I will continue to kick off, especially when our other children are getting calendars. You know, I mean, I'm not having that, quite frankly. So we had to have a big kind of sit down about it. And I said, I'm not accepting anything other than a Milky Bar calendar from now on.
Oh, gosh. You were a little princess.
Not a little princess. Mate, this is when I was like 27. I mean, I'm joking.
This is last year.
Yeah, I'm like, call a spade a spade. Look, it's not acceptable. Why am I not getting a calendar anymore? When did that start happening? You know what I mean? Christmas has lost a bit of its charm anyway, but I need that calendar. That's still going on. Basically, I do love Christmas, like when everyone kind of gets together. You know, at our family, we, kind of go round at aunties or whatnot, and, you know, everyone kind of comes round and... Yeah, we play cards, a bit of cards for money. Gets a bit of Vegas around there. It's good fun. I love our Christmas days. but one of the things, like, was it last year? When, like, the family dogs, like, are around. And they have, like, their Christmas as well, like, a nice little bit of food. But you know when, like, people start feeding the dogs under the table? My cousin's dog was there, and he's a little staff, and he's just... absolutely bonkers. He's diving at people, just knocking people out of the way. He's just full of energy. And people have been feeding him Christmas dinner or whatever. So he's having a great time. But he went into his, like, little kind of bed for the night. Yeah. In the morning, that Christmas dinner had come back up again from both ends. And he's laying there like, what have I done?
At the same time.
He's got a worse hangover than us. He's like, oh, why do I do it to myself every year?
I should have left the stuff in.
Exactly. Oh, that turkey's terrible. Oh, dear. It's not a normal diet for a staff. Pigs in blankets. I mean, come on. I'm the pig in the blanket now. It's sick all over me. So, yeah, that was quite good. And my favourite family Christmas was the year where it snowed quite heavily. And so we go to one of the aunties at one point, you know, and all my aunties come round to my other auntie's house, and then it got so snowy that they couldn't actually drive in it. They went to walk home, realised they'd forgot the keys, and everyone had to stay in, like, the same house. Oh. And, like, this was when I was actually younger, you know, like, kind of about 12 or whatnot. And you know when, like, stuff like that is just so good when you're a kid. Like, everyone has to stay, you know. And, like, for adults, they're just kicking off, like, oh, for God's sake, I want to sleep in my own bed, you know what I mean? People having to sit in armchairs and stuff. But for me, that was just so exciting and kind of captures the kind of Christmas vibe. So, yeah, that makes me think about a song, which I'm only going to have to play a couple of minutes of, but this is only making me think of it because I had it on a CD on one Christmas and I was playing it loads, and it's called Diary by Alicia Keys. So that was Alicia Keys' Diary. It was a big song for me one Christmas. Was playing it loads. We've really got to crack on though because we've got to squeeze everything in. Had a couple of emails.
There we go.
Cauliflower. Hey guys, my girlfriend loves eating cauliflower. She pretty much eats it every day. The problem is I don't think she likes it that much. It likes her that much. It makes her a little windy in bed at night, and I'm often woken up by her windy smells.
Oh dear.
I've told her about it, but she said if I love her, then I must love her wind too. What do I do?
You're going to love the boiled veg.
Sam in Woking.
Poor Sam.
Yeah, you might have to love her farts and all, to be fair, unfortunately, Sam.
That's the facey the way she said it, though.
Yeah, I know. You love my wind as well. get a peg on your nose, or rub some Vicks under your nose. You won't be able to smell it. Whistle. Hello, guys. I've recently moved in with my girlfriend, and she has a really annoying habit. She's constantly whistling. It's got so bad that when she started to whistle while we were having fun times, It's really off-putting, Carl. Can't imagine it is. Just a bit of... Whistle while you work. Do you know what? I would have made that funnier if I could actually whistle,
you
but
can't whistle.
I can't. Nah. So. Well, you could have helped me out, but no, you just watched me struggle.
You had your bit, so I thought you was gonna, I didn't know you could whistle.
They knew what I was getting at anyway. nice one for that, by the way, Carl. Christmas. Hey, guys. You know that Band-Aid song, It's Christmas Time, There's No Need to Be Afraid?
Yeah.
Well, I disagree. I always go round to my girlfriend's parents for Christmas, which is good, except for her Auntie June, who lives there. Auntie June, without foul, gets hammered at some point and sticks her tongue in my ear. I told the family about it, but they just laugh and say, good old Auntie June.
Good old June.
Junie knows how to have a laugh.
Get it in there, June.
Sometimes there's no warning when it's about to happen. Last year I was by the fridge and she appeared out of nowhere and stuck her tongue in my right ear for about 30 seconds.
What's the matter with this woman?
Going for it.
Actually, that's his fault because he should have moved away. 30 seconds when he's just taking it, just like...
June, you're tickling me. I'd push her off me, but she's 85 and I don't want to hurt her. Watch her rip. Watch June's it. Watch her rip.
Watch her rip.
Got any ideas what I should do, Paul in Battersea?
Wait for her to pass away.
Yeah.
That's one of those ones.
Wait. Oh, dear. Absolutely.
That's the only thing.
Oh, dear.
She's going to have to wait.
Yeah, or just maybe turn towards her and just fall on snogger and go, see, you drove me to this. There you go. What an ill. You've got a short amount of time. It's blossom of past time. Talk to me about Christmas.
Blossom of time. It always reminds me of Christmas time when I was in year one at school. It was like, it was probably my first time I experienced racism as well. It was a school nativity play and we was all in assembly, like the whole infant school, and they were like, yeah, we're going to cast the school nativity play. And I was like, everyone was like, oh, yeah, because everybody wanted to be in it. And especially me, I wanted to be one of the three kings. I was like, yeah. Because one of the three kings, they got the gold crown, the cape and everything. I was like, yeah, I could be like a black Batman or whatever. Because that's what it looked like. Yeah. But with a gold crown. And I was like, yes. And then, and then all of a sudden, they picked the first two kids. And I was like, oh. And they're all from like the older years in the infants. I was like, come on, pick one. Pick me. And the headmistress was looking right at me. And it's like... And she picked one of my friends next to me, my friend Jonathan. I was like, oh. And I was screwing.
Jonathan's like, I'm king.
I'm king, baby. And I visibly looked upset, and she could see that. And she was like, oh, she goes, oh, don't worry, it's because we're going to need the main role, though, and you're going to play the main role, I know. And I was like, the main role? I'm going to be Jesus. No. I was the donkey.
Yeah, donkey time.
The donkey. Apparently that's the main role in the next. The donkey's job was to lead all the animals around and to go find Jesus. I was like, what? For starters, it don't make no sense. Why is a donkey leading lions and tigers around to go, yeah, come follow me, we'll go see Jesus. And I was screwed because all I had to do was, because they did it by each year had a different animal and a different song to go with the animal. And because I was the first animal, it was just me. So the entire school was... singing little donkey, and I'm just all I'm doing is walking around in a circle around the hall, just like with a nasty look on my face. I don't want to do this for 5 minutes, just walking around in a circle dressed as a donkey with a stupid donkey mask on that I had to make.
So you were donkey before Eddie Murphy and Richard
before.
Blackwood.
Way before those two brothers.
Don't worry about that. Yeah, yeah. I was like donkey locked down.
Hey, donkey, original donkey was me. But yeah, that's my Christmas time story. It just always reminded me of the school nativity play, Ben.
Sounds awesome. Absolutely. So what's the song you'll be playing?
Oh, so I'm going to play this out. And I got the... always reminds me of the Outcast, So Fresh, So Clean. Because when I was thinking of being that king, I was thinking how cool I would look in the school. Because that everyone wanted to be one of the three kings.
Nice.
We didn't call it three wise men. It was three kings.
Three kings.
Three kings, baby.
So fresh and so clean. You would have looked good, but no, you were donkey. That's when it started. All the kings were talking about. I'm a king.
You can't possibly be the king.
So we're going to have so Fresh So Clean by Outkast to play us out of this week's show. That's going to be the end of our show anyway, guys. So make sure you tune in next Thursday at 4 p.m. and we'll be back with Johnny and I Know Live and Loud.
That's right. Thank you for all the emails that you sent in and all the tweets that you gave us as well. They've been absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, we've loved your wheelie banter. You can follow myself at Johnny I Cochran on Twitter.
And me, Inel, at Inel, I-N-E-L.
And us at Johnny and Inel on Twitter. Until then, we'll see you next Thursday. Have a great week, guys.
See ya.
And Monte Carlos and El Dorado. I'm waking up out of my slumber, feeling like Rollo. So follow, it's showtime and Apollo minus the Kiki Shepherd. What about a hoe and a leopard print? Teddy, Pendergrass, cooler than Freddie Jackson, sipping a milkshake in a snowstorm. Up at the warm in the dorm room at the AU. We blew hate to athletes, might cake you, but you must have me mistaken with them statements that you make. Huh? Bongo hooked it up, oh my god. Dip my rim today so they can ride out to the undergone hide out. I'm gonna show you how to wild out like Jack Tripper. Let me be Bambino on your slippers. YKK on your zipper. Lick you like a lizard when I'm slizzard. A sober. 6 million ways to fold ya. Like Noah's, I get two abuse and you get pretty cheap. But I call your ass from 80s. I know you'll be there for me, girl.